Anybody ever memorized, you know by heart, John 3:16? Maybe you might have learned it when you were a little kid. Maybe when you were a big kid, you might have come to find that verse. Title of my message today is, we're going to talk about a generous father. How many of you like someone who's generous? Yeah? All your hands should be raised. I mean, all our hands should be raised. A generous father. You know, there is no one more generous than our Heavenly Father. I love going to the beach. Maybe not at sunrise, because that 45-minute drive all the way to Fernandina, but to see the sunrise. But if I'm already there at a beach, it is just a beautiful thing. And I've shared this before. I'll share it again for those of you that didn't hear it. But the waves, it's just a continuous, I mean, if those of you who love the beach, if you have not done this, find a oceanfront hotel, or maybe a bungalow, or maybe there's a house that you can rent that's on the oceanfront where you see the ocean, you hear the ocean, and then just hearing that as you fall asleep, hearing that when you wake up, I mean, I just love it. But that continuous sound of waves, what comes to my mind is that God created the oceans, and the oceans continuously give glory to God. Glorify our Maker who created. And the cool thing is that, thankfully, the waves stop at a certain point, and then they go back out into the ocean. But then sure enough, as they go out, another one comes back in. So it's just a continuous. And some of you are like, duh, that's what the ocean does. I know that. But God created it to be that way. And this is the reason why I love the ocean. I don't really like to go to the beach because you always bring back the sand back home with you. That's a pet peeve of mine. But I love being there because just the sound of the waves, and you just see the waves come. And to me, it's just a continual praise of how glorious and how awesome God is. He's a generous God because he's given us stuff like that. How many of you love seeing a sunset, the color of the sky at a sunset? Hey, we have a generous father who gives us pictures like that every single day if you're looking at it, if you're looking for it. Every single sunset, the sky is beautiful. Every single day. Now, I don't encourage you to do this, but even while I'm driving, of course, I'm paying attention to where I'm going, but I look at the sky. I'm not sure how many of you actually spend time or even do this with your kids. It would be even fun. You go look and you try to get them to tell you what image or what do they see in the clouds. You know, oh, I see this dog over here, and it doesn't look like a dog to you, but they see it. God gives us these pictures in the sky just to create an opportunity of we can see his majesty. He created all of that. The rays, the sun rays, and the colors of the sky. Even when you look at the different trees when you're driving or when you're riding and someone else is driving and you're looking at the trees and you see God's creation. We serve a generous Father who's given us all that stuff to look at. But he's given us stuff of who we can become. He's created us. Because none of us in this room, you have gotten to this point in your life that it was all because of you. If that's what you think, there's a lot of pride that's going on that we might need to pray and discuss about going on in your mind. It's not all because of you. It's because of God who has given you this life. And I know that sometimes we have difficulties in our lives when we think about the people in our family or the people that we live next door to or the people that we work with. But God has given and placed different people in our lives for a reason and a purpose. God is a generous God. He's a generous father. And so this is the reason why I mentioned John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. I'm just going to stop right there for a moment. I know that there's more to it and the rest of it is very important. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him should not perish. God doesn't want you to perish. He's such a generous God that he doesn't want you to perish. It's because of his love that for you that he does not want you to perish, but that all but have everlasting life. He's a generous God. Because when you really look down into it and you know yourself better than anyone else, of course, except God, You could see all your frailties, all your mistakes, all of your attitudes, all of your moments of being a jerk. All of your I look at that because Shannon made a comment this morning in Sunday school about me being a jerk. She was finishing a sentence. Yeah, I'm not saying you're bad or you were being mean at that time. That was a joke too. Where was I going? See, I went off on a tangent and I should have. Lord, forgive me. Sorry. But we serve a loving God, and the fact that he does not want any one of us to perish but have everlasting life, he is so generous because he knows all of your mistakes. He knows really who you are. He really knows who I am, and none of you know, but he knows. And yet, because he loves, he gave. Even though he knew how rude you would be this morning. I have no idea how many of you were rude this morning, but that's just coming to my mind, came out of my mouth just now. He knew how many of you would be rude, yet he loves you. He still remained generous to you. So for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave, and I'm thankful that he gave. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that God gave Jesus so that we would not perish, gave Jesus so that we would have everlasting life? I'm so thankful. God, thank you. Father, thank you for giving us your Son. Father, thank you for loving us. Father, thank you for demonstrating to us every day, every person that we run into or bump into, every sky, every tree, every bird that flies across the sky, everything that you've created that brings glory and honor to you, that reflects your majesty, that reflects your perfectness. God, we thank you for all of that. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. You gave your very best, God, to those who don't deserve it. Let's just think about that for just a second. For God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave to those who don't deserve it. Father, I pray that you teach us today. You remind us, you teach us, you show us, you demonstrate to us of how generous of a Father you are. And through that generosity, you are trying to teach and train, disciple and change the mindsets of your children, that your children would follow your suit, follow your example. God, help us to learn from you this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. You know, 1 John 4:8 says God is love. It mentions that God is love, and because of his love, it should flow through us, shouldn't it? How stingy would it be that you were to experience God's love, but you only keep it for yourself? I mean, it's like God pours in this pipe. You're the pipe, and he pours his love, but you purposely put a cap on the end of it. There's none of his love flowing out of you. That's not right. That's stingy. God knew that we were in great need of his love, great need of his mercy, great need of his forgiveness. And that's why he's known as Jehovah Jireh. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. He's known as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He provided a Savior for you and for me, who enables us to be righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, meaning God, made him who is Jesus, for God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in ourselves? Nope. In our talents or abilities? Nope. We are made righteous in Jesus. God is holy, and because of Jesus, we become holy, and we're righteous because of Jesus. That's why when we were singing this song that we can come to Jesus is because he is our Savior. We can come before God because Jesus is our Savior, and we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. That is why we can even come close to God. Thus, the reason why God fills and empowers believers with his Holy Spirit. And it all started because God loves. It all started because God so loves that he gave. So let's go to my first slide. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. It says, every good gift. Anybody like receiving good gifts? I do. I like good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Let me share this real quick. I know that Jesus says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. We all need to learn how to give, but we all need to learn how to receive. How is anybody else who's supposed to learn to give, when they try to give, you don't want to receive it? It's like you're too good. No, you're not too good. Learn to receive it. Is there pride? Is there, well, you know, and this is the difficult thing, because I get this thought too. Oh, man. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, now I got to get them something. No, don't go there. Don't allow yourself to go there. That now you got, because now the purpose of you actually giving doesn't come from the flowing of God's love. It now comes from, well, they gave it to me, then I got to give to them. We don't learn that. That's not how God does it. God loves and he gives because of it's out of his love. And so when we come to worship him, don't expect God to make you the rest of your Sunday better because you came to worship him. He loves you regardless. He'll be generous to you regardless. He'll show you another beautiful picture of the sky today, this evening, if you're looking for it, and it has nothing to do with you coming to church this morning, you giving worship and praise, you giving an offering. It's not that God doesn't roll like that. Neither should we. So we should learn. We should learn that, okay, it's more blessed to give than receive. That's what Jesus said. Paul was quoting Jesus and saying that this is more blessed to give than to receive. But we all need to learn how to receive and to tell ourselves, you know, that thought in the back, no, I'm not going to go ahead and go back and give it to them out of obligation. Not of obligation, it should be from love. Why? Because I am following the example of my God who loves me and who is merciful and who is generous. He gave out of love, therefore I should give out of love. Therefore, the next time I'm at the supermarket or I'm somewhere and poof, so-and-so comes to my mind and I see something that so-and-so likes to enjoy, those chocolates, I'll buy those chocolates. But it has no connection out of obligation. It has every connection out of the love of God, because of God's love. So we need to learn how to do that. Have you ever wondered, am I generous like my Heavenly Father? Do I love like God loves? If not, right now is a great time to go ahead and consider this. We all fail to love and to give exactly as God loves or God gives. So we can repent and we can say, God, forgive me. Because the way I give, God, I give to those that scratch my back so that I scratch their back. And that it doesn't have your love stamped anywhere on that. So God, teach me to love. Teach me to be generous and to give. Teach me not to be stingy with what you've given to me. Help me to steward that and know who to give, when to give, and Lord, you'll tell me why to give, and I'll be obedient to give. And so it's an opportunity for us right now to say, Lord, forgive me. Allow and ask God. Say, God, help me to learn to love as you love. Not because somebody does something nice for me, now I got to love them. Now they're on my prayer list, you know, for that God to bless them because they did something. No, their name should be on my list already. Because God, I know them and you've put them into my life. This is how we are known that we're Jesus' disciples. John 13:35. It says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. Jesus is speaking. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Not obligation. Not a guilt trip, but because you have love for one another. Next slide. My first point is a generous father provides. He provides all the time. He knows what we have and what we don't have. He knows what we really need, and he'll tell you what you don't really need. If you've been praying for that one certain item or whatever, and you keep hearing, you don't really need that, that's not the devil. That might be the Holy Spirit saying, you may not need that right now. And because it's the prayer hasn't been answered, don't look at God and say, God, why aren't you listening to me? It's at his timing. You probably don't need that right now. But he provides for the purpose that he has for us. He provides for us all. Everyone just do this. All right, so now you can't tell God that God doesn't provide anything for you. He doesn't give you anything. God, you don't ever give me anything like you give them. He gives us the air to breathe. He gives us the wonderful people. I hope you'll agree with me, the wonderful people that you live with. He gives us even those difficult people that you might work with. You ever think that it might be because you need to learn something? Maybe it's something that you need to teach them. And that's why there's difficulty there. His word speaks of those things that God gives to us and that he wants us to give to others. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Psalm 112, verse 5, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Listen, it's because of God that we have anything that we can give to anyone. And so again, if we will learn to not be stingy and be a steward and be that conduit of that vessel that as God gives, he gives not so that we can hoard. And I'm not going to ask are there any hoarders in here, and don't point fingers at anybody. But it's not that we're supposed to be hoarders of the things that God gives us, both physically and spiritually, the things that God gives us. But we are to be that conduit, that vessel that will just give it to someone else. After he has given it to us, that we will steward it well and that we'll give it to someone. My next slide. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. It says, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Honors who? Honors God. Why do we honor God when we are generous to the needy? Now, when I say needy, I'm not sure how many of you are right away think of someone who is homeless. Someone that's sitting on the street corner. It could be anyone in this room that you might know that's in need of some. Hey, is there a need that can I help in some way? You shared with me that you had a need. How's that going? Being concerned with other people's needs. We honor God when it matters to us to be generous and helping meet other people's needs. Because everything that God has provided already to us, he's already provided it. And so if we'll learn to be that conduit of blessing. Now, I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1. I'm going to read some scriptures from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and then chapter 9. And so in verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed. How many of you are just eager to know what's underneath this blanket here? All right, I'll share that with you in a little bit. I just wanted to know how many of you were like, is he going to pull that out? I will. So again, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. Oh, you guys stood up. Okay. All right. So Paul is writing this letter to the believers in Corinth, and he shares with them, and I want you to if you have your Bibles, you're taking notes, and somewhere on there write, the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, God will provide the people. I mean, of course, he provides for everything, but God will provide for the people, and he will provide the people that will provide the finances for that work of the ministry. And you know what the amazing thing is? God doesn't need your finances. He doesn't even need us. But I love the fact that he wants to use us. At the end of this service, we're going to have those that are going on the mission trip. We're going to have them come up to the altar. We're going to pray over them. If those of you that want to come up and pray over them, pray for safety, safe travels there, for God to speak through them to the people that at Hope Farms. But it's so amazing that God wants to use us. He doesn't have to, but he wants to. And in the situations and opportunities that he gives you, that he gives me, to use us for the work of the ministry, for his glory, it brings glory and honor to him, and it allows us to get involved with what he cares about. And again, it's just him being generous, and he teaches us by his example that we would be generous. So the church of Macedonia, it was their desire to give to the ministry, and their desire was evident. Right away I thought, but where did this desire come from? I mean, what was so important? It was important because it was the work of the ministry. It was God's work. It was the kingdom work. And maybe, just maybe, they were reflecting on what Jesus said as he was teaching them how to pray. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe that was the whole point of why they were willing to have this desire, and not just have a desire, but actually act upon it. It's good to have good intentions. It's really nice to think nice about other people, but it's about when you act upon it, does that power, does the love of God is evident, and it's no longer just a thought or just some words. But now we've put feet to our words, feet to our desire. And so the goal was to give, even to give out of their lack. So they knew and understood, the Church of Macedonia knew and understood the pain of being able to give out of their lack. God placed it in their hearts to do so. Let's go to slide 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. It says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence. So there's some progress here. He says, as you abound in everything, they are abounding in faith. They are abounding. They're getting better. The ball is rolling. People are doing things that their faith is being active. They're speaking. Their knowledge is increasing. Their diligence. So all of their works, it's increasing. And in your love for us, he says, see that you abound in this grace also. I'm going to talk about that last part. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, for my sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage that only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must complete the doing of it. That there was a readiness to desire, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. Slide 5. Every Wednesday we have a service. We call it a refuel service. A time to refuel in worship, time to refuel in word, time to refuel in fellowship. What we've been doing is we've been covering 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, I know it says tonight at 7 p.m., it's 6:30. Thank you, Janine. And it says not tonight, so it's not Sunday, it's Wednesday. Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. But we're covering 1 Corinthians. And in these first chapters of 1 Corinthians, when you compare what we're talking about, what the church is going through, the correction, the instruction that Paul is giving them, and then you find, and we read this verse here, in verse 7, but as you are abounding in everything, they're abounding. That means they're moving forward. That means good things are happening. This is very encouraging that the Corinthian church, they're not still stuck in their dumb ways. They're actually flowing and abounding. And he says in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. What's that grace also? The work of the ministry, being generous, being willing to give. Now, he also mentions that he mentions what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that through his poverty might become rich. This rich is not about having money. It's not about the Benjamins. It's about the spiritual things of God. It's about the spiritual works of the works for the ministry of God, for the kingdom building. That is weightier. That is more pricely than any money we could fill our pockets with. So I pray that you don't think of what Paul is saying here is that these believers are becoming millionaires or billionaires because of what Jesus did. No, not physically speaking, but they can become spiritually wealthy and rich in the things of God. And so as I mentioned, our refuel service, I want to encourage you. I implore you, encourage you to come on Wednesdays if you can, because we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'm so glad that we can find here that they're abounding in this grace also, that their generosity for the kingdom work. So he continues that this isn't a command, but a proving of sincerity from the grace of Jesus. And again, it's not something of a guilt trip. It's not something that trying to be legalistic, But it's something that this is helping us to grow spiritually. This is should come from the love of God that God has poured in us so that we can be rich spiritually, not financially or physically. So here's the time where I remove this. I want to share with you, and I've seen quite a bit of videos without searching for them. And the Lord has just been sharing with me. I'm sharing these videos because I want you to touch a subject on this. Okay? God provides. Amen? He provides. And I was going to share with you a little bit that way, though, some of you can see. All right? Just a bowl of fruit. I really like this cool part. At Walmart, it says personal watermelon. I thought, oh, that's cool. And it's, you know, small. But a personal watermelon. And I just thought it just fits. Because God personally, he's so generous that he personally wants to provide for you. Now, when I say personally for you, that's not just your family. That's you first. And then, of course, he provides for your whole family. But so he provides. And I love the fact that he provides a lot of times even when we're not even looking for it or we're not asking for it or when we want something. It's not that we need it, but he provides many times for things that we may want. There were times in our house that Shannon and I would just, kids were sleeping, and we would just look and sit in the living room or the kitchen, and we would just start pointing at things in our house that people gave us over the years, of how God blessed us. And, oh, yeah, remember that? Yeah, remember that? Remember when we didn't have a couch, we just had bean bags in the living room? Yeah, I remember that. And even someone gave us a bean bag. Yeah, I remember that. And so I wanted to show you this, that, again, as God is generous, what are we willing to give? Now, some of you are probably thinking, where's the rest of the pineapple? I wanted the pineapple top part to make it look a little more tropically. But anyway, he's just so generous. We've been blessed over the years that, you know, we've gotten a new-to-us vehicle or even new-to-us. Shannon loves, those of you that know Shannon, she loves to on thrift store shop, and I've kind of gotten into that, and it no longer bothers me that I buy a new-to-me suit. It was used, somebody else's suit or someone else's shirt or someone else's jeans or pants, but that was new to me. And so God just provides some of those things, and he's just an expert at being generous. But I wanted us to share just these two pictures because this is what God looks for. I'm going to share some scriptures, and if you want to take some notes, I'm going to share some scriptures why I say God looks for our first fruits. But this is what we need to learn not to do. I'm not sure if you can see it, but strawberry, a half-eaten banana that now it's kind of all kind of brown, and an apple. I see these a lot in my house. My kids, they grab an apple and they leave it somewhere, and so just the peel, God. That's all I'm going to give you. Just the peel. Now ask yourself: am I generous like my Father, who gives me when He knows that I don't deserve it? And when do I give to him? And here are the videos that I feel like the Lord wants me to just share. There are many people who speak against tithing. We believe that it is biblical because you find it in the Bible. It's demonstrated before the law was written. It's being done and walked through when the law was written. And even in the time of grace, Jesus even mentions about tithe. But even if people have a difficult time when people say, well, the church just wants 10%, saying that God wants 10%, which 10% is the tithe. If you really have an issue with 10%, then you have a bigger problem because Jesus says that we ought to surrender it all. And I've seen so many times that when we give our first fruits, our tithe to the Lord, He does so much more with that than what we could ever do with the 90 that we have left. Parents, teach your children about giving God their first fruits to Him. Genesis, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to share with you some scriptures. Genesis chapter 4, verses 2, where Abel gave to God the first fruits. It was the first, not in a time or during the course of time, as one version says, but he gave God the first fruits. Abraham tithed till Melchizedek, and he tithed all of the spoil that he received from taking over this city, and he tithed till Melchizedek. Jacob honored God, who recognized God as his source, and he honored God with a tithe. Genesis 28, verse 18 through 22. And all of that was before the law was written. So it was demonstrated before anyone could ever say that's a legalistic act. Then Malachi chapter 3, God rebukes and corrects his people for the lack of tithing. Jesus mentions in Matthew 23:23 that to continue the tithing, but don't neglect the weightier matters. Focus on the weightier matters, but don't neglect on what you should already be doing, which he mentioned, the tithe. When you get to the bottom of the issue, it all boils down to looking at our generous Father and following his lead, his example. And the great thing is that it honors him when we give our tithe and our first fruits to him. So 10% would be a good place to start, wouldn't you think? Now, I'm not going to put anyone down. This is not a word. I'm not going to put anyone down if they give a fiver, tither, 10%, fiver, five. If you decide to give half of that, I'm not going to put you down. But when we look at Scripture, at the demonstration of it before the law, the instruction during the law, and what Jesus mentions and how Jesus requires that we surrender it all to him. What's all? All of ourselves, all of our lives. Yes, even what you have underneath the mattress. All of it is his, and it should be his. That old song, I surrender all to you. I surrender it all. And when we do that, we follow suit of our generous Father. Listen, I am so thankful that we pastor a generous church, that last week we were able to bless our missionaries and we gave them a check. And I'm not sure if some of you forgotten, you still wanted to give, but get with Mary. But it was over a $600 check to our missionaries in Brazil. I want to encourage you, get a picture of Brazil, get a magnet to put on your refrigerator to remind you that those of you that gave to Brazil, that every time you look at that magnet on your fridge, it'll remind you that you're making an impact in Brazil, and your feet haven't even stepped on the land of Brazil, but yet you still have an impact in the lives of those children, boys and girls, coming to know Jesus. So I'm thankful that we get to pastor a church who is generous. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions. So let's just say these are your possessions. What God has provided and given to you. What he's brought into your pocket, your checkbook, your husband's wallet. Whatever you want to look at is your God's provision to you. It says, honor the Lord with your provision and with the first fruits. Not these half-eaten fruits, but with the first fruits. Is where we honor him. And I know, believe me, I know that over the years it was difficult to be able to do this. But it's not impossible. We just needed to walk in knowing that if he provided all of this, he is worthy of our first fruits. Matter of fact, if he was to say, like he told the rich young ruler, to sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me, I believe that we would do it. I believe that we would do it because we know that he is our source. And when Jacob realized and understood, I don't know if it was an epiphany for him, but he found a rock that he was laying his head on. I'm thinking, man, that must have been a hard sleep. But he found a rock. And he anointed that rock, and he said, this is the house of God. He called it Bethel, which means the house of God. And because of that location where he was, and that's where he went ahead and decided to tithe, give a tithe to the God that provides for him, that will sustain him and cover him, and that he will honor God. So again, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your first fruits and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That verse 10, don't get it twisted, don't get it wrong. It's not so that you can have so much, but if you can learn to give first fruits when you have the barns filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine, you will see new ways. You'll see other opportunities to go ahead and be generous and to give. We believe that the Lord is honored when we tithe, when we give love offerings, and we give to mission. Three distinct things I've preached before. The tithe, I've already talked about. Love offerings, it's whenever the Lord puts it upon your heart to give whatever. And it's not just money, but having a heart to give out of his love, and then mission support for the work of the kingdom. Did I say my second point? Next slide. Generous Father gives us opportunities to give. So I was mentioning that. He gave us an opportunity to give last week, and I'm so thankful. Because it is our faith in action that we believe in who he is. He is our source. We trust that he will provide, and we obey to be that vessel that honors him as we follow his example. To the kingdom work, to honor God, and that glorifies him. You'll never hear from this pulpit that tithing, love offerings, or missions is a legalistic act that you need to do, that you must do. Maybe that's why people talk against tithing, because they find preachers or speakers that put a legalistic hold or a guilt trip. You'll never find us playing on your emotions that you need to give, and that if you don't give, then you're not a Christian. If you don't give, then God don't love you. You'll never hear that from us. You'll hear that we look to God, who is a generous God, and that he is a provider, and that if he speaks to you, that's on you. If you're willing to trust in him, to obey and respond to what he's saying to you. So those faith pledge cards that we had, we still have, the ushers have them in the back. I encourage you, take one home, pray over it, and say, God, how much do you want us to give as a family? Because that goes way deeper than whatever Pastor Rick will tell you to give. And I will never tell you what to give, because it needs to come from God. It's that overflow of his love and generosity that he's blessed you, and you're being that conduit of blessing. God, you've blessed us. How can we support missions this year in 2024? And the number that he gives on you, you write it on there, you turn it in. And the great thing is of seeing him move in those opportunities where you thought that you were going to lack, and he provided the need. Amen? Next slide. Generous Father leads by example. I already mentioned that. This last slide. I found this meme. It says, when God put a calling on your life, he already factored in your stupidity. Now, I don't like using that word, stupidity, but he factored in your stupidity. Most comforting thing I've ever heard. When I saw that this week, I thought, ooh, I need to share that. And it goes with what I said before. He knows our mistakes. He knows how much of a good steward, an average steward, or not a too good of a steward you are. And yet he still is generous to you. Yet he'll still, if you're listening and watching, give you opportunities to be generous to others, just like he's been generous to you. So I pray that this picture would speak very loudly to you. And going to my first question, am I generous like my father? Do I believe that he's my source? Do I trust that he will provide? And will I respond in action and obedience to a God who provides it all anyway? One of the great things is that when we can come to the conclusion, God, all that I have is yours. You speak to me, and I will obey. I want to ask the people that are going to go to this Hope Farms this week, and I'm going to ask you, we're going to close with you coming up, we're going to pray over you, and then there'll be some leaders up here that will pray for you, anyone that needs prayer. If the Lord spoke, if the Lord touched you during the time of praise and worship, which was an anointed time, share that with us. We want to hear that. But I want to encourage you, don't come with wish. Come with what the Lord spoke. Believe. Trust. And you're walking in what Jesus has already paid for and done for us. Amen.